for those because the intensity increases, but also in the place of praise and the place of worship. Those that will enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And he seeks those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So as we go into this time of worship and as we sing this song, I want you to mean it in your heart. Sing it unto him as though these are the words that you have. And God is the God of words. He listens to words, you know, words that are from the bottom of the heart. So we're going to sing it together. You know, it's all about you.
It's all about you. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. The life that I live, it's all about you. It's all about you.
It's all about you. Indeed, we're sorry for what we've made it. The time of worship has been a time of entertainment in many places, in our hearts, in many times. Lord, so we say, we repent, we return unto you. Lord God, with words, O Lord God, Father of truth and sincerity. And we say it's all about you. Thank you because you are here in our midst in your mercies. Lord, you inhabit our praises by your tender mercies upon all the works of your hands. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for taking preeminence. Thank you because we treasure it. We treasure this presence in our midst. Lord, there was a day in your presence better than 1,000 years. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercies. Thank you for your love. Thank you for comfort. Thank you for your thoughts. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give us an expected end. Thank you, Lord, just because it's all about you. Thank you, Lord, just because it's all about you. Lord, we seek you with all of our hearts. As your word has said, we should seek you, Lord God, and we are seeking you with all of our hearts. And indeed, Lord God, we will find you, finding you in your word, Lord God, which reveals you. Thank you, Lord, just for great grace. Thank you for your blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, by which we are able to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace for help in time of need. Thank you because it's another time of need, and your very present help in time of need. Thank you, Lord, just for great grace. Thank you for your goodness, your glory, your presence. Thank you because you're the living word. Yes, that word that is truth, that is setting us free, renewing our minds, healing our bodies. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Yes, you're the one that has led us, that is leading us. And as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You are the guide of our youth, our helper and our friend, our strengthener. Paracletus, thank you, Holy Spirit, for making God real to us. Thank you for making the Word real to us. Thank you for making His presence real to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you will continue to guide us into all truth as we continue, Lord God, and you will cause that truth to set us free. You will show us things to come. You will set us free because you are the Spirit of liberty. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are not the Spirit of fear or worry or timidity or intimidation, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Thank you, yet you are the Spirit of comfort. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for great grace. King of saints, King of glory, our Redeemer and our friend. Thank you, big brother, for your presence. God, Holy Spirit, thank you. We worship, bless, and honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you in our thoughts, in our words. It's all about you in our thinking, in our talking, in our lifestyle. One more time.
It's all about you,
Jesus, in my thinking. It's all about you in my talking, Lord. It's all about you in my lifestyle, Lord Jesus. All about you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, you could keep singing that song on and on and on and on. You know, and as you sing, you always make songs prayers. Time of prayer is not entertainment. It's not about, I love that song. Oh, Michael W. Smith. Wonderful song. I love it. It's not about that. That song cannot be turned to a time of prayer and intercession to connect with the Father and help you to receive transformation in your life. Then check that song very well. Do you understand? And so we have so many of those kind of songs around. You have to check the lyrics. Does it actually get me back to God? Does it help me to seek God? Even in that 5 seconds of worship, can I really connect with Him? Does it help me to find Him? Does it bring light and revelation about Him and help me to seek Him and love Him more? Check that song. Do you understand? Those are ways you can actually, you know, be very frank with yourself and honest with yourself. It's not about how many people in the church or in the body of Christ are singing the song. It's about whether the song has meaning to God and is bringing me close to Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? A true priest will direct men to God. A false priest will direct men to himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so the same songs of a true priest will direct you to God, like David's psalms and songs. But a false priest, his songs will not make sense. It's not directed to God. It will just direct you to himself. And so it's only you that will be entertained. It's not just your flesh that will be entertained. So those are just things that, you know, by His mercy and grace, I begin to think about, you know, and I'm able to connect with God in that place of prayer, in that place of worship, in that place of praise. Okay, so we'd like to welcome you to Zion City Fellowship Christian Campus Outreach Home of Scripture Pastor Christian Center, pastor by Pastor Luby Johnson, Mommy Sarah Luby Johnson. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord for our beloved parents. We thank God for Pastor Mommy with true apostolic and prophetic grace upon their lives, and they send their love, their prayers, their greetings. And like we always pray as well, that they will see the travail of their souls, they'll be satisfied in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a few hours to the fun fair. We'll talk about that later. You know, but before we go into the time of fun fair, you know, let's go into the time of word fair. All right. And so we're going to be treating the word of God. And we've been talking about some things in times, the past weeks. And that's what we're going to continue today. We're talking about how to prioritize our relationship with God. Because Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then you see, as we read these things, we wonder, are they really true? And how long am I going to seek the kingdom? What does it mean to seek God's kingdom? And why do I have to seek God's kingdom? And okay, I'm going to do it. How do I seek God's kingdom? How do I prioritize? Is it guaranteed? Is my life guaranteed to be of value and to yield fruit, you know, on this planet as I seek God's kingdom. And these are things that we've come to a part as we've continued to treat this thing where we've discussed amongst ourselves by His mercy and grace. But we've also come to a point in our trip, in our journey, that there are fears, you know, and things that intimidate us, you know, as we've discussed prioritizing our relationship with God. And you see, those are the things that we're going to, I believe, by His mercy and grace, we're going to finally dismantle, you know, and deal with. Because where you have fear, where there is fear, you will see that you will not make necessary moves. Because fear is a weapon of Satan, you know, and it's fear of uncertainty, fear of what's going to happen to me, fear of the future, fear of a man's experience that you've heard. And that's another thing you have to be careful. The best teacher, the world says, is experience, but that is not true. The best teacher is the Holy Spirit. And one of the best tools He uses is experience, but even experience is not the best tool. The Word of God is the best tool. Are we together? Because you can live by revelation, and if you see it and believe it, there are some things you will not do, and there are some things that you will do. But if you live by experience, then you can get into a place of fear, because that thing, one man's life is not your own life. You can learn from it. But I found out that because people have, and like Prof was saying last week, he said his own life is unique and your own life is unique. What you need to learn is, what did he do to overcome his challenges? It doesn't mean that because he gave his all at a point, you need to be afraid. No. It just means that when you get to a level, you must be willing to know that you have to give your all. Are we together? And giving your all is not a negative thing. Because let me tell you, either as during the worship, it will just come to me, either you give your all here, or you give your all there, you will give your all somewhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? How shall a man, you know, how does it say it now? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? The truth is, going to lose something. He's going to gain something, whether it's negative or he's going to gain positive. Are we together? So we need not fear. And I think one of the major things I'm going to deal with, you know, and Prof is not here physically, but he's here by the spirits and by the power of technology. I told him to, whatever God has laid upon his heart, he should share with us. And so we're going to listen to that. And maybe I'll share a few things, and then we'll go into that time of interaction. So by His mercy and grace, God wants to pull down strongholds so that you can move. Fear is a stumbling block. Fear is a stumbling block. Fear is that mountain that you must shout grace to. Do you understand? So you can move forward and you can be able to overcome. Sometimes, like I said, fear of uncertainty, fear of lack of clarity, fear of man, fear of what's going to happen to me, fear of self. In fact, it's sometimes the selfishness, you know, that has coated itself in a form of I care. Really, what you care about is just yourself, you know, what you're going to gain. And so these are things that we're going to deal with, and by His mercy and grace, trample. And so are you ready for me? And so we'll listen to Prof's just a few minutes, 5 to 8 minutes, word of encouragement and what God laid upon his heart, and from there we'll take it up. So let's all listen attentively, write down your questions, whether you're online or on site, and also be ready to take the mic and share with us in a few minutes contribution, questions, answers, and what you understand from what you hear. Okay, so I give it to you guys upstairs.
It's another Zion City Fellowship, and I just want to give a very brief exhortation and a recap from last 2 weeks. One truth that we all have to accept is that the will of God is more important to God than our comfort. But don't be mistaken at all. In God's will is your comfort, both in this world and eternal comfort. Comfort that we cannot even imagine. Prosperity we cannot even imagine. So, Jesus said, I come in the volume of the books to do thy will, O God. We must be Christians that start to exercise ourselves in every situation we find ourselves. What's God's will? What's God's will? And sometimes when it clashes with our convenience, we are ready to put down our convenience for God's will. For what shall it profit a man if he gets his comfort and loses God's will? He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So that's in life, in God's presence. So let's be Christians that value the will of God. And why one of the reasons why it scares us sometimes is that, God's will may not be what I want. God's will may be his thoughts towards you are that of good, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. And some of the reasons why we go through some times of shaking, wilderness, loneliness, is because we, like we said, have been shaped in iniquity. We are conceived in sin. So there are character flaws that we have. Psalm 51 verse 5. But in Psalm 138 verse 8, the Bible says, the Lord will perfect all that concerns me. So there are character flaws, there are iniquities, but God has made up his mind to perfect the things that concern us. That means remove those iniquity and shaping it up with his own glory and life. And he will do this by his mercies. So let's freely commit our lives into God's hands. Always wanting to know what the will of God is. Always wanting to know what the will of God is in every situation. And then that will build us up until we ourselves become the will of God in every situation that we find ourselves. So let's trust God. You know, I was sharing with you, I mean, as a young person, some of the shakings that I went through, but I couldn't deny I had the peace of God. More importantly, which I didn't say last week, is that God was speaking to me, and the revelation knowledge, many of the revelation knowledge that and clarity that I have today, the foundation was during that process. Just like David in the wilderness alone with the sheep, fighting off the bear and the lion, that's where I wrote the Psalms. So Pastor Liberty will tell you that in those days when he came back from England and it was wilderness, all this revelation knowledge of life, scripture, of love of God, that's when God put it in his mind. So there is, and now he is building on those revelations. So be it David, be it Joseph, and we are seeing it in the lives of Pastor Luby, the beginning, some of their youthful days was tough, seeking God's will. But we are seeing a better end, a more glorious end to them in their lives. So let's have faith. Let's have faith in God. Let's trust him. Let's trust him. The will of God, coming to the fullness of it, and with all his attendant blessings, it takes time. So be patient with yourself. Walk with God. So follow the will of God. It will take time. It will take time. And that's why the scripture is encouraging us. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. Remember your creators in the days of your youth. Because walking in God's will and getting all the full blessings takes time. So you are already having a better head start from your youth. So God will see us through. Nobody can see us through other than God. So let's commit to him. Let's seek his will. Let's acknowledge him in all our ways. And daily, you know, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, praying in the spirit. These are the tools. They are not the end in themselves. They are the tools that that help us to start to navigate the will of God. Let that passion to do God's will be there. When you go through your trial periods, one thing will come out is you come out with a greater trust in God. Because God shows himself real on our behalf. And may God show himself real on our behalf in all our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a nice day. Have a nice weekend. Have a nice charity funfair. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord and unto Prof as well, to thank God for Prof. Okay, so, you know, he said it in summarizing what we've been treating, and it goes back to, you know, not being afraid, you know, and knowing that God's thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil. I just have a few scriptures I think that will help us and will bless us. You know, then we'll go straight into that time of interaction. 1 John 2:5. I have this list of scriptures. And you see, the Bible tells us that the word of God is a sword of the Spirit. In that word, and it also tells us that the word of God is a two-edged sword. And one way God is putting in my heart to let you know is that you can have the word of God as an attacking tool and also as a defense tool. Are we together? And as we get to read the scripture, you will see that we are going back to the same thing to deal with different problems. And you can't run away, you know, like Prof was talking about these tools. You can't run away from it, because where you're going to find succor, comfort, strength is back into the word of God. Anybody that tells you that, look, you're just going to come to fellowship one day, yeah, the anointing can be present, the word can be present, and it can encourage you and deliver you at that point. But it can even lay hands upon you. But there is no one laying on of hands that will set you free eternally. If God does any divine intervention, is for you to get that freedom to go back into the word of God and know the truth. It is the truth that you know that will what? Make you free. Do you understand? I mean, God can use me. God can use an apostle, a fivefold ministry, therefore the perfecting of the saints. But guess what? It's for the perfecting of the saints that they may do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come, not just the pastors, till all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So no stone is left unturned. Nobody is left out. It's not just for a few people. God has everybody in mind to fulfill purpose and destiny. Are we together? And so, in overcoming this fear of God's will, first, of course, I know I have to learn to know how to discern God's will. But even before discerning, some people are even afraid to even know God's will. You know, because of what we have heard. And like I said, you cannot live by men's experience and men's lifestyle. You can live by the principles and glean from it. What is the lesson for me to learn from this person's lifestyle? What is the person or the lesson for me to learn? Okay, so let's go straight to the word. 1 John 2:5. And these are scriptures that will help you, you know, in dealing with the root problem. Let's read that. But whoso, I'm sure you have your Bible here. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. We're going to read it one more time. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Let's read it one more time. But whoso does what? Keepeth his word. In him what? Verily is what? Love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are what? In him. The key words I want you to hold before we go to the next verse is his word, which will lead to what? Which will lead to what? No. Keeping his word leads to what? Yes. The love of God doing what? Being perfected. Now, let's go to 1 John 4:17. So, 1 John 4:17 tells us more about what that love of God will do. Or that love of God that is being perfected. 1 John 4, verse 17. Yes. Let's read together. Hearing is our love made perfect. It just means made complete. So that love is beginning to grow in you and beginning to control you. It's beginning to influence you. It's beginning to affect the way you think, the way you talk, the way you behave, your decision, the way you see things, the way you review things, the choices you make. Hearing is our love made perfect. That we may what? Have what? Boldness in the day of judgment, or really in any day, in a day of decision, in a day of showing, in the day of judgment, because as he is, what? So are we in this world. He's fearless, he's fruitful, he's bold, he's courageous, he's not afraid, he's not worrisome. Are we together? Next verse says, there is what? Come on, talk to me. There is no what? Fear in love. See, but go back to 1 John 2:5. It's easy for me to just quote 1 John 4:7 and tell you no fear in love, perfect love casts out fear. But if you go back to 1 John 2:5, it goes back to what we've been saying. Whoso keepeth his word in him. In him is what? The love of God perfected. And when you now come in, now say perfect love, what? Cast out fear. You see, the more of God's love, the more of God's word you keep, the more it will drive out fear. Out of your heart, fear of tomorrow, fear of uncertainty, fear of the will of God. All this kind of horrible fear that is of the devil. The more it will drive it out from you, and the more it is driving it out from you, the more you'll be able to make decisions and be able to flow with God's will and do God's will fearlessly. Are we together? And so if you look at it, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, what? Casts out fear, because fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. It tells me that fear is not of God. Anything that torments you, before it even happens, you're afraid. Before it happens, or before they talk about it, the will of God, you're afraid. It is not of God. That fear is of the devil. It's a morbid fear. Are we together? But the thing that will drive it out is one, keeping the word of God. That means you are reading the word of God. You are saying it to yourself. You are thinking it. You are talking it. You are believing it. You are practicing it. The more you are doing it, the more you'll be driving out fear. Even if fear hasn't come, you don't have to wait for fear to come. Before fear comes, on that day of judgment, like it was for David when he faced Goliath, it was a day of judgment. But he was ready. Because he had been developing the love of God. He had been keeping the word of God. Prophet was talking about the wilderness experience of David. You know, he had been, as he was growing, when he was tending the sheep, he had met the lion, he had met the bear, you know. And when the day of judgment of meeting Goliath came, when no man was there, he was found. Do you understand what I'm saying? He had been developing and been keeping the word of God. Nothing just happens, guys. You're going to have the backside in the desert. You're going to have the silent years in Nazareth. You're going to have the days when you might not be known as the entrepreneur or the startup owner, like they know in the world. Your day is coming. But we are more concerned about you being ready for the day of showing and not falling on the day of showing. Are we together? Are we together? Because there are going to be those days, there are going to be those decisions that will come. But have you been preparing? It says that if a man falls in the day of adversity, it is because what? His strength is more. Is God a liar? God is not a liar. So if we are having issues and challenges, it is because one is either we are ignorant. It's fine, guys. We are not condemning ourselves. We are just treating, you see, I like to deal with the root cause of things rather than just talk about the flamboyant surfaces and what is nice and how can I be ready for what is coming. I might have had mistakes in times past. A righteous man falls 7 times. But if I'm not learning from the mistakes, and I'm not knowing how to handle the stencil and how to handle the sword of the spirit, then you're just going to be repeating the same exam over and over again. In the teens, the person is doing the same exam. When he's 20, it's the same exam. When he marries, he's doing the same exam. No, you know those things happen. Don't say, oh, those things happen. is because he hasn't passed that is faith 101, or that is trust 101, or that is understanding 101, or that is knowledge 101. Because my people perish for lack of knowledge. Are we together? And so that's why we are talking about these things. How do we handle and overcome this fear? And so, okay, finally, before we now, 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. See, I just want you to know that God loves you so much. He loves you the same way he loves Jesus. That is in John 17. God loves us the same way he loves Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's read it together. What does it say? I can't hear you guys. God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. But of what? Power. Of what? Love. And of a what? Sound mind. God doesn't want us to be afraid of anything. How much more his own will for you? And so we need to reprogram our mind that God loves us. You must be secure in God's love. God is love. And it says, his thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. We've been coming back to that scripture. That means that God wants us to hook our faith upon that scripture. Because it is when you hook your faith, he that keepeth the word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And so you're perfected 1%, you're perfected 2%, you're perfected 3%. When you face the day of judgment 3%, that perfect love of 3% will defeat that judgment of 3%. See, I'm not thinking 100% at once. Nobody gets to 100% at once. But you know, 30% is like when you're on the computer and the stuff is loading. It loads. Do you understand? It's loading. Whatever it is hitting, is loading according to what it is hitting. So you see 10%, then you see 20%, then you see 30%. Then in my weight, something is happening. And he overcomes 30%, he moves to 40%. So even if your love is 40% or 10% perfected or perfect, what is going to come against you is not going to be more than 10%. Do you understand? And when you overcome that 10% challenge with your 10% love, coupled with the greater one that is in you, you move to 20%. Are we together? Do we understand? So God is a God of progress. God understands. God is a God of patience. He's progressive. God is a God of understanding. Howbeit, he doesn't want you to stay behind. He wants you to keep moving forward. Are we together? Okay, yeah. So I will just pause here. And as people prepare their questions or sharing, that which stands the test of time. Prof mentioned it. And during the worship, it came to me. That which stands the test of time is fruit. If there is nothing you are building, I know as you're improving your career and your studies, there is one major thing you must always seek to build, and that's character and fruit. Whether it is preached, whether it is mentioned, you know, thankfully I went to a school, a secondary school, where character was of essence and magnified and mentioned every day. And so if you had good character, you would get stars, you know, and if you did well in your academics, you would get stars, you know, and to the glory of God, one will get scholarship for character and academics. And so that really encouraged me to focus on character. And then when I came to church, that's what kept bombarding my mind. So over the years, my mind has been programmed to always long for character. And also, of course, academically, to be the head and not the tail. But really, you cannot take that word character from my heart and from my life by his mercy and grace. And for many people, it might not be the major thing because, I mean, people come from different parts of life, you know. But it's important that if it hasn't built, you must quickly go back to your foundation and make sure you're injecting character. You know, as when I'm looking for leaders, in a nation, I'm looking for character. Because that's what has been built into me. If it hasn't been built into you over the years, it's not too late. Nothing is ever too late. Are we together? So, and love is character. So I don't know if you have things to share, questions to ask, you know, as we overcome this obstacle and deal with this morbid fear that seeks to hinder us from walking with God and flowing with God. Make it sharp. Tell us your name and make it quick and prompt before I stand up. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. You just see me moving to and fro. Nothing to be shy about, or no challenges. Somebody has... who's going to help us handle the mic? Opie.
Good evening, House. My name is Injoshua Olamide. I'm happy to be in fellowship today. Well, my question goes to us. It's not really related to the Bible, but we live in a society that has a culture that we are focused on criticism, which is what caused many children of God to fear. So I keep asking the question. I just want clarity on it. That why has the society been so focused on criticizing those who have done wrong? We've never for one stopped to actually applaud and encourage or give due honor to those who have done something right. But adventure, if someone is the accountant of a firm and he has every room to actually steal money, and because the fear of God was there, he didn't do that and he left the place of work and is now not even treated with honor. So my question goes that why have we created a society that has focused more on criticizing those who have done wrong and have not appreciated those who have done good? Praise God.
As much as I want us to stay within the boundaries of what we're teaching, but because you've brought it up, the Bible tells us that the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? The reason why they focus many times is on negative news and negative things and on criticism, pulling people down, and not on the fear of God. Don't expect Satan to be talking about the fear of God. He wouldn't do that. You know, and you have the whole world lying in the sway of the wicked one. And sometimes you even have the population in a place might be more of sinners than Christians. Do you understand? At that point, the influence of the evil one permeates that place, saturates that place. It's going to take a Christian that knows who he is to bring light into darkness. Light can overcome darkness. But the reason why you're saying that is because the enemy has permeated the media channels. He has permeated the world lies in his sway. It doesn't overcome the church or children of God that know who they are, but it's simple. Like the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, it says that the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. All right? So if you can get me that verse. 1 John chapter 5, I believe it is. You know, but the exact verse I'm just trying to get. You know, but the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. That's the simple reason why you are having that kind of focus and criticism, and the fall of people is being magnified rather than the character. So it takes a church and saints in an office, in a country, in a society, to be able to now beam and magnify the fear of God. Do you understand? That same place that the enemy has been doing, well, we need to displace him from there. And we need to begin to influence the air and the environment through whatever channel that God has provided for us. And that includes media, by his mercy and grace. It depends on the field that God puts you. So in that field, you need to let us see that, oh, it pays to serve God. Malachi chapter 3 says it pays to serve God. You know? And so it does pay to serve God. But we need to see it. People need to see it. And you see, the skill, as we pray all that question, I need to see hands up so I can stop talking. The method is the same thing that Jacob used in the Old Testament. Whatever you see before you is what you keep seeing is almost what you keep believing. You understand? So the sheep that saw this, they were like speckled. The one that did not see it was spotless. Do you understand? So what the enemy places before you more and more. Whereas if we to keep putting that before people more and more, it pays to be good. It pays to love. It pays to forgive. It pays to fear God. And the result is there. You see that people's mindset will begin to change. Their thinking begins to change. Their talking begins to change. What they believe begins to change. Also, it pays. Also, it pays. So all this is that it pays to steal. It pays to be corrupt. It pays to steal. They keep hearing it. Their mind is subconsciously being reprogrammed. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we need to believe in epistles, you know, and begin to change things drastically. Yes. since everybody has overcome fear, no challenges whatsoever. No questions or what you understand, what you like to share. Is God talking to you as well?
Praise the Lord.
Ka.
Good evening, church. Yeah, my question concerning fear is sometimes in school, we come across some lecturers, and this has been occurring over times. And even the class, you know, some people, we in the class that maybe we are Christian, we'll be like, how do we go about this thing? So some scenarios can just happen in class that whatever the lecturers say, that's what we are going to do. And whereas this thing is wrong, but the confidence to go about that fear, you know, just to make sure things are being done in the right way. So my question is, how can someone go about it? Sometimes we pray, or let me say, most times we pray about it. But, you know, it's not still working the same way. For instance, last week, Saturday, we had a program, and the lecturer just came into the class on Friday and just fixed class on Saturday, and the class leads to exam. So how can we go about something like that? And we are scared to go and, you know, confront the lecturer that, or Gao, please, oh, you know, we are, and we just have to be there. So that's my own question.
Well, I wish Prof was there as a professor, because he's in an academic field and, you know, is his forte. But you see, what I can, and I'll try to see whether, I'm trying to see whether I had the same challenge in school, but I might not have had the same challenge in school, because I was more of the quiet type. First, let's use the word to try and analyze it, because you see, it's, the thing is, God will never allow us to be tempted above what you can bear. If something is not working, is either we don't know something, or we're not doing something right. And again, fear, by all means, that what the Word of God says, fear is not of God. Fear, in fact, the Bible tells us that the fear of man is a snare. So, if you say you are praying and you are still afraid, then we need to check, are we really praying? And are we casting out the spirit of fear? Okay, it seems as if the presence of the man is distributing a spirit of fear, even amongst us as a Christian. But I think you need to rise to the point where you really pray. And now, in confrontation, I wouldn't use the word confront the man, but you have to entreat the man. You see, these things I'm saying, they are scriptural. So, to be honest, I'm not in that scenario, but I believe they would work. First, you need to pray. You need to cast out that spirit of fear. And you need to ask for favor. I'm thinking of Daniel in this kind of scenario. That's Old Testament. See, we need to begin to provoke the Word of God. And if things are not happening in our lives, we need to check our own lives, whether they play along with God's expectation. Now, of course, we're not perfect, even though that's where we're going. But that's where we have the blood of Jesus. So I expect, because I've seen scenarios where the same person that is very strict and wicked, you find favor. You just get the wisdom of how to talk to the person. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know, a soft answer breaks bones. These things are the same word of God. They are the same principles and truths that cannot be broken. And so maybe when we are praying, we need to pray together in unity. I'm talking about, you talked about the Christians, you know, maybe your colleagues. You need to pray together in unity. You need to pray in faith. You need to approach the man. It might not be once. The man might need constant seeing to. Are we together? And see, beyond me, I can just say one way. But when you pray in the spirit about this kind of situation, God will give you he'll give you wisdom and open multiple ways. It might be that you'll talk to another lecturer that will talk to him. I, I can't give you specifics, but I can give you principles of the things to do that I know will work, because I'm seeing the same picture in the Bible. I might not have experienced the same thing, but I'm seeing the same picture in the Bible of where Daniel and his friends are supposed to be dead. They're supposed to be so afraid. What they went to do, the Bible says he gathered his three friends, they asked for mercy. God always hears that cry of mercy. Are we together? God always hears that cry of mercy. And one thing I was almost I'll also say is that what the lecturer is asking of you, if it's not a matter of life and death, maybe it's you that you need to reschedule your Saturdays. You might have plans, but maybe you need to reschedule your Saturdays. But if you really do have very important plans for your Saturdays, maybe you need to pray. You really need to talk to God. I'm coming. You really need to talk to God. And you see, this thing goes beyond English and Yoruba. It goes in praying in the spirit. Sometimes your character God wants to deal with, or that, look, you just need to submit to this and go for your class. I was talking to somebody today. I said, God's desire for you is holistic. God wants you to be an equilateral triangle, not isosceles or scaling triangle, not right angle triangle. He wants your, an equilateral triangle, all the sides are equal, all the angles are equal. But the base is your spiritual life and is the thickest. The next is your mental academic life. And the next is your physical, you know. But one is thicker than the other, but everything is of the same length. If you are supposed to be in class and you are thinking of going to Owambe or going to church or going somewhere, then you've misplaced your priorities and don't expect God to honor it. Like some people that would rather give the money they're supposed to give to their parents, and Jesus condemned it. They are giving it as tithe and offering. Yes, you're supposed to be your tithe and offering, but that money, you're supposed to be your tithe and offering, but that same money, God also wanted you to honor your parents. And then you're telling God, I've used it for tithe and offering. Or what you're supposed to use for tithe and offering, you use it to give as gift. There's misplaced priority. So, really, all I can tell you, we need to really, truly analyze. If I'm not able to answer the whole thing, you might have to see me physically. You know, like I said, or you might have to see prof, since it's an academic field, and explain the distinct situation. You know, so I don't know if it's a wicked lecturer. Almost every lecturer that is not favored by you will be wicked. There are actually people like that, you know. But truthfully, let me tell you, truthfully, truthfully, the primary and the core thing to start with is prayer. But even in your prayer, do you have core words that you use? I'm not saying that you call down fire on the guy, or the guy should die or have accidents. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about key words like mercy, wisdom, favor, you know, guidance, light. Then praying in the spirit about it. You focus on this thing when you're praying in the spirit. I'm not saying your mind is in diverse places. When you really want something, you will get it, let me tell you, in that place of prayer. You'll get wisdom. Sometimes, like I said, it's twofold. Maybe you need patience. There are sometimes you've been in a country where the ruler can be wicked, but the man didn't die and doesn't die. Even though in all their desires, they've wished that the ruler would die. But he doesn't die. So what's happening? God is working on the people. Do you understand? God is working on the people that they should wake up, know how to pray. They should also be developing the fruit of patience. So it's simultaneous. God is a very wise person. He will not give you, he won't just give you shortcuts. No. He will use that same situation to develop you. So really, the scenario, and that's why you need to keep praying. It's also going to be a test of perseverance for you. The man might need a heart change. Killing him affects his wife, affects his children. So God won't do that. So while you are hoping that something happens, this man should change. You keep praying and God is developing the spirit and fruit of patience in you. And God is working on the man's situation. He will hit God one day. Do you understand? It might be a hard hit. It might be a soft hit. You know, the darkness. So really, it's simultaneous. That's why you have to pray in the spirit about it and pray depth in the spirit. If you really want something, you really pray and you don't stop praying about it. Especially if I want my Saturdays, God, I need your help, right? I need mercy, I need wisdom. You need favor. You need someone that can talk to the man. Something will happen. And it will only help you to trust God more. Because God loves you. Do you understand? Your sunshades are in your eyes. I want to know whether... Yes, you are smiling. Good.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Efrata Oyewole. So concerning your question So there was this lecturer that we have in our faculty, and everyone knows that the lecturer she's tough. Let's put it that way. And because they had told us this when we entered the faculty, we all just went into our course with that mentality that this woman is an awful person, she's this, she's that. And it really did affect us. And so the first time we had our course, everyone was just, it was awful. And as we expected, because they had already scared us, she was awful to us, and it affected our scores. And then that happened the first time. And the second time again, that we had the same course in year 3, the same thing happened, because we had all been afraid and we all expected her to be mean anyway, so she was mean. And so the third time that we're going to have our course, I was just like, no way. There's no way this is going to happen again. So what I started doing was, I started putting her name in my prayers. Like, I would mention her name and put her name in the prayer. I'd be like, you will favor me. Because of me, you will favor the entire class. And we will pass, and we will not just pass, we will pass well. And to the glory of God, that third year, she was so kind.
Glory, hallelujah.
Like, it had never happened before that she had favored a class that much. Her marking was favorable. The test that she planned for us was also favorable. So, what I'm trying to say is, pray about it and be intentional with your
Thank
prayers.
Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you. So let's give a clap offering unto the Lord. The key words there, prayer. Am I with you? Yeah, I need you to smile and hear the word prayer. Prayer and favor. Key words, prayer, her name, favor. Do you understand? I'm praying the Spirit. Prayer. You can't go away from prayer. The moment I start, like I told you about the false priests and false prophets, the moment I start taking you and pointing you to something else, then you should question me. That prayer must stay. I might point you to something else, maybe get a white handkerchief, wave. That's not, I'm pointing you off communication with God. That's idolatry. You understand? So prayer, I like the fact that she talked about prayer. I could have had the principle, she now has a live experience. And then, she didn't call down fire, she called down favor. Eh? Favor, mercy. Like I told you, ripple effects. You don't call down fire on people. It's somebody's mother, for goodness sake. Do you understand? Or somebody's grandmother. And you don't know where something about her life will affect you in the near future. Call down favor. The Lord just telling James and John, let's call down fire on these Samaritans. They've messed up so much. And they quoted scripture, Elijah. No. You don't know what spirit you're made of. That same later, we can see that Jesus met a Samaritan woman that now helped him to spread the gospel, and he chilled there for over 3 days. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, favor, prayer, favor, and you can start in her name. Be intentional about it. I kept saying that you need to be intentional about something. If you want something, heaven will hear. So let's try it, and you will give us testimony. You will be a witness in this place next day. The man is not greater than God. He's not stronger than God. So chill out, right? Yes. So we've moved into a place of dealing with fear. And when you are dealing with all kinds of fear, you will not be afraid of God, because you know that fear is of Satan. I'm afraid of God's will. Yeah, Satan. And he does want you to do God's will. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Good evening. My name is Rela Kem. So I just want to add to what Pastor Lalde said at the beginning, which was about experience being, as people say, being the best teacher, but the Holy Spirit is actually the best teacher, and the tool he uses is the Bible, which is true. And the Bible is filled with experiences of people. And why it's the best tool is because, okay, there's this proverb my mom says about, I don't know how to say it in Yoruba, but I know the English translation, which is like when you're driving and someone enters a hole or a pothole, the people at the back will have seen that happen, and if it's avoidable, they're not going to intentionally enter it. So now that's the same thing with when we use the Bible as a tool. Now we're looking, that does not mean that, you know, next time maybe we've forgotten and we're going to enter it. There are some things that we actually have to experience, but most times we can actually just look at the experience of people. Or for instance, like Jonah now, when he disobeyed God and he was in the belly of the whale, if, you know, when when things happen and we feel like maybe it's as a result of disobedience, and most of us just lock up because we think, oh, we've offended God, you know, we can't go back. Like, we become shameful and we overjudge ourselves in a way that we don't know how to go back to God. But Jonah was able to do it. So that kind of experience now is good to look at and say, okay, you know, Jonah disobeyed God, right? And but at the end of the day, he still asked for forgiveness and still did what God asked him to do. So it's not just asking for the forgiveness part, you know, especially when you've disobeyed or when you know, you know, you've disobeyed authority. It may not necessarily be God talking to you directly. It might be the set fathers or whoever is, you know, above you, maybe at work, your parents, whoever. So I think the best thing is to realize that not only do we experience some things ourselves, there are some things that we don't need to experience because we can learn from the people in the Bible. And, you know, difficult situations, more difficult than maybe what Jonah was in, maybe like Job. I think that's my favorite character in the Bible because he went through so much and he was still able to come out on top. If, you know, we're going through stuff and sometimes we think that that's the end of the world, like nobody has gone through worse, and we look at Jonah's life, we definitely have not gone through what Jonah went through. So looking at his life, seeing how he was able to trace his... He didn't even really leave God, to be honest, but most times we do. And, you know, looking at Jonah and using him to encourage ourselves will help. So,
thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, you know, self-condemnation and being afraid to go back to God, that's another kind of fear. You know, you shouldn't be afraid to go back to God. Jonah in the belly of the fish cried out for mercy. And like Kenneth Copeland said, he said, when you sin, don't run from God, run to God. All right? He wants to forgive you. He's willing to forgive you. You know, whatever you feel after is just symptoms of the sin. You know, but rather run to God and have trust, you know, in his love that God indeed is for you. We have just a few minutes left. I want us to maximize it. You know, okay, there's a hand there. Is there any mic? If you have things online, please let us know downstairs so we can also answer.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Ifeoluwa. Okay, I just want to chip in something about fear. So, based on my personal experience, fear has been one of the things that actually breaks me, my relationship with God, like time past. So one time I sin, I do something, I feel like, oh God, can God forgive me and all of that, and I backslide again and all of that. But until I came to a conclusion and a final acceptance that above everything, the love of God, the love God has towards me is above everything. So any time I fall or sin, I still keep this consciousness that God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. So it gives me victory over fear. So I just...
Excellent. So, you see, it still goes back to that love, recognizing that a revelation, understanding the love of God drives out fear, you know, which Satan tries to use to hinder people from progressing. And I also wanted to say, the whilst Rocker was saying, because you know, I had an experience with someone, you know, who was in a traumatic, well, I won't say a traumatic situation, but a depressive situation, you know, academically, you know, but I found out that when the person sought to seclude themselves, Satan used it against that person. But when you open up to people, then, like, when she opened up to people, people had word for her, you know, which encouraged her. I know it was still a trying time for that person, but you see, the fact that you opened up to people, half of the problem is solved, because nobody was condemning. People were praying, and people always had these encouraging scripture and stories from the Bible that really encouraged. And at the end, by the time the person called me today and told me her testimony, she saw that it was a matter of recovering all, a story of David, step by step, and it happened. So that person, there's no way from the talk, that word is stamped on her mind and stamped on her heart. And of course, we also know that she now knows her problem, the problem that she had. So it's not just a matter of the problem has been solved, but what I did to even get into the problem, but now what I also did to get out of the problem, which is what you're talking about Jonah. You know, it was half in the belly of the fish, but he cried for mercy. And guess what? That same whale took him, you know, transported him. He had a quick bolt, you know, to where he was going, where God wanted. See, so God is love. And his desire and longing, the Bible says he doesn't desire that anybody will perish. He doesn't. It's true. If anybody perishes, it is because they said, get out, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And even at that point, he will still try because he's love. You can't define love. God defines love. It's not the love that you've heard or you've seen on TV or Hollywood has painted or you've read in one book. We don't know the depths or the heights. God still goes deep and far, far, because he's love. So if you can begin to trust that love, still begin to drive out fear bit by bit. And when you trust in him and you love him and you trust in his love and you are secure in his love, when he tells you to do something, you'll not be afraid that he wants to kill you or he wants to destroy you. But again, for you to know that, you need to keep the word of God. It won't just happen. It's only by reading books or by hearing a preacher. You have to keep the word in your heart. That's what he did. And he drove out fear in any situation. Okay, I'll just give two more people. We'll round off in 2 minutes.
Yes.
A quick one.
Open your Bible, please, everybody, to 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. That place talking about trust. When you trust God, say, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of God is tied, is a buckler to all them that trust in him. So if you trust God, anything you want is definitely going to do it for you. And if you trust God and God really know you trust him, he's going to trust you also. If you look at the part of Job, and the devil was like, we all know the part now where Kevin was interacting with God that he wants to get into Job, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. And God was like, Job is definitely not going to fall for. It's like God trusted Job that place. And if you look at it again, when he was passing through this tribulation, he said, curse God and die. He said, no. That's the show the highest love of God, the love he has for God. So let love God with all our heart and trust in him. He's definitely going to do anything for us.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One last person. Okay.
Praise God. I just want to add to what everyone has been saying. I think it was Pastor that told us this. He said there are four attributes of God, characteristics of God we are to trust in. One, the love of God. Two, the wisdom of God. Three, the power of God. Four, the integrity of God. And that's one of the major things that God has been using to help me. Because, so if you are going through a valley situation, for instance, if you recognize that God loves me. Pastor, one of the definitions of love, apart from the discerning design that Pastor gave us, is an eternal goodwill. An eternal goodwill exercised in wisdom and patience, and expressed in love, in kindness most of the times, and discipline when necessary. Something like that, I think I got it right. So basically, what I want to emphasize is an eternal goodwill. So God has eternal goodwill to you. Morala, okay? God has an eternal goodwill to me. So it's not a situation of, you know, we can have powerful people, rich people, influential people, and they don't love you. They have the resources, but They don't love you. You are not their business. They can't help you. But this person, the person that has all the resources in the entire universe, is in love with you. That's one. Two, he's wise. He knows the strategy. There's a singer that said something in Yoruba. I'll say it in English. He said, there are 14,000 ways of escape. If one door closes, another one will open. So it's like, you can never outrun strategies with God. So sometimes you sit down and you try, okay, how can this? Okay, you're trying to figure out, God has promised you something. Maybe, I know we all have different things we are trusting God for. Maybe career, maybe finance, maybe whatever, marital life, anything. And you're thinking, oh, okay. Sometimes you can plan a perfect strategy in your mind, but the Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. So once you can think it, God can do more than it. So we need to understand that God has wisdom, strategies. He can bring out, we can be in a wilderness. He has shown us in the life of the Israelites. He can bring water out of a rock, koshelery, where it happened. He can bring water out of a rock. He can turn the sea into dry land. We can conceive these things now because we've heard it happen. It can turn the sea into dry land, and you actually pass. They didn't pass on muddy ground. They passed on dry land in the middle of water. So that's love, wisdom, then power. So, for instance, I don't know if you've experienced this before. If you surely know, most parents love their children. So your mother or your father loves you. But maybe for Christmas or something, they're like, I'm sorry, I can't get this for you. Then mommy is rich at this point in time. But God wants to do it for you, and is not rich in quotes. Is actually rich, is able to do it. So it's powerful. Then another thing is integrity. You can stake your life on the word of God. One man of God once said, once you have it in the word, you can have it in your world. You can have it as your experience. So you can trust God that once he has said it, he will do it. So this kind of helps us to overcome the fear of God's will. You have to understand that God cannot do me bad. He has an eternal goodwill. Then he has the wisdom on how he's going to take me through this process. Look at Joseph's life. Something evil, so to speak, befell him. He was sold by his brothers. But God used the very same thing. He said at the end that what you meant it for evil, but God turned it around for my good. So that's strategy, wisdom. Then power. God has the ability. Then integrity. He will surely do it. So whenever we think of God's will, let's not be afraid that sometimes God will come. No, God can never do you bad. So trust God to help us in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. That was a beautiful place to conclude. So it all boils down to trusting in God's love, trusting in God's word, trusting in his integrity. You know, all of those things is rooted in his word. The Bible says he has magnified his word above his name. And you can see that when Jesus, the Lord Jesus, was challenged, you know, by the devil, the only way he responded is by the word. Guys, you need a Bible revival in our lives. You can't go away from it. You know, if you listen to music 70% of the time and less of the word, it won't be able to absorb the challenges that come against you. And look, like I said, God will never allow you to be tempted above what you can bear. If you are facing it, it's either you have the sufficiency, the grace in you to overcome that thing, or you were able to overcome it, but maybe you are not just at the right place at the right time to have listened to the word, or maybe, you know, there was just one thing or the other. But God will never allow you to be tempted above what you can bear. And so everything that has been said is to draw us back into the word. There's nothing that has been said. It might be beautiful revelation, beautiful knowledge, sweet, can't clap, we can shout. But at the end of it all, what is it taking us back to have to do? It is knowing and loving this word. Thinking and talking this word. Because those thoughts will come sometimes and you need to respond to that thing. I'm talking about practical to-dos now. And then also, I've read it about Daniel. I've heard Ephrata's beautiful story about how she was intentional in the place of prayer with a woman's name and asking for favor. But will I go back and do it? Because it's not the hearers of the word that are blessed. Everything can sound sweet here. But at the end, am I brooding? Am I processing the word? Am I practicing it? That's what sets you free. And that's what makes you blessed. And that's what I'm more concerned about. that when we leave this place, you start practicing and exercising those things. You start getting into a culture and a habit of reading the word, speaking the word, being intentional in the place of prayer, using the word, you know, as defense mechanism and as attack mechanism, you know, and if you need to call the person's name in love, and ask for favor and not for fire, then you see, and then of course, the thing that just beautifies it, the Bible says he has garnished the heavens, you know, he has beautified the heavens by his spirit. The thing that garnishes it all and beautifies it all, and the Holy Spirit, walls cannot stop the Holy Spirit. He can't stop his angels. You know, nothing can stop his angels. Nothing can stop the Holy Spirit. Can permeate, can talk to people in the night season. He can make them not sleep. It's the Holy Spirit. He made them. And so that's where the praying in the Spirit comes, guys. You need to start doing it. If you have to time yourself 5 minutes, try it, do it. You need to build yourself. I'm talking about practical to-dos now. Time yourself. Okay, I'm going to pray in tongues about this matter for 5 minutes. Start like that. You know, they say a walk of 1,000,000 miles starts with a single step. But don't drink that wine, Sha. You know. So pray in the Spirit about the matter. Try it. Just try it. Give it another try. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Do it today, tomorrow. Continue. You need more hands. Call me. We'll join hands together and pray about the guy. Call Efrata. She has experienced it, so she has courage. So one twofold cord cannot be easily broken. You know, where two or three are gathered in his name, there you are. There's one of my pastors in church here. When he's about to preach a message, he'll call me, small me. He say you'll pray, and then me too, I'll pray. You know, and then you see, it gave me courage that me too, I can call people. Well, let's pray about this matter. Or quick to call my wife. Let's pray about this matter. You know, so, and it works. I've seen it work. One will put 1,000 fight, two will put 10,000. Then, see, you begin to build faith because God is so in love with you and so in love with His word bearing fruit in your life. Say, hey, she was a friend issue. We'll boy here now, we'll girl here. Well, many of us, we've so loved experiences, we've so loved testimonies, and we've not even tried it with our own hands and gotten our own hands dirty. And we're afraid that if I try it, what if it doesn't work? No. Keep trying it. It's going to work. And God wants to brag about you. That's what somebody said. God wants to trust you also. You know, and brag about you. Let's bow our heads as we pray. You know, and so that song that we sang at the beginning is what we're going to end with. I'm going back to the heart of worship because it's all about you. It's not about me. It's not about my will. It's about you. In fact, I want to fulfill your will and your destiny in my life. And you know, it's not a man or woman is going to tell my will. My will, your will for me is encoded in the word. And a true pastor will take you back into the word to reveal your will generally to you. And then you have to start searching it out in the place of prayer on a daily basis, step by step, baby steps. God welcomes it. And then ultimately, what this is motivating us to do is to grow. You know, start doing things that normally you haven't been doing. As we round off this year and go into a new year. I'm going back to the heart.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you.
Let's stand up on our feet as we sing it together.
Jesus, I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. Now it's all about you. It's all about you.
When the music fades, when the music all is stripped away, and all is stripped, and I simply come, longing just to bring, something that's of worth, something that will bless your heart.
Through the way things appear, you're looking into my
Together, say, Father, we confess our sins. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, thank you for the teaching of your word. Thank you for the truth of your word, the truth that will set us free, the truth that you are love and that you love us so much, just like you love Jesus. Thank you, because you grant us wisdom and revelation of this love, so that the eyes of our understanding will be flooded with light, will be rooted and grounded in this love. Our trust will be in this love. We will keep your word so that this love will be made complete and perfect in our hearts and in our lives, driving out all kinds of fear, driving out fear in every situation, in every circumstance, to the praise and glory of your name. We ask for mercy in any situation, O Lord God, that we are. We ask for mercy. In the depths, Jonah asked for mercy. In the heights of heaven, you sit upon the mercy seat. Lord, in any situation, even when we don't know what to think, what to say, Lord, help us to remember mercy and to pray in the Spirit by that mercy, so that your kingdom will come in our lives, your will be done, and be rerouted to fulfill and walk in your will and your purpose for us, without any fear or worry. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Father Pajaka. Thank you, Lord Joseph. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Drawing us from the water. Setting our feet upon the rock. Higher than I. The rock of your love. Where the floods cannot flood, O Lord God. Let your mercy, King of glory, set us on high. Seated with you, Bakateria Pazukta, in heavenly places, Arasharia Pajaktaya, ruling Mrakaya Pajakta, Rike Potoria Pazakta, walking worthy of you, Lord, unto all praise and Bakaya, faithful, fruitful in every good work, Abazaktaria, and becoming just like Jesus in our thoughts, in our words, in our work, in our actions, in our academics, in our learning, in our deeds, in every area. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord.